Everyone, it's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And I have actually a very interesting show coming up for you tonight. And the Akashic Records, for those people who don't know, are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And tonight is for some people, is a very, very special night. It's the beginning or the eve of Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe, culminating with Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. That's for the Jewish people. I actually had a very interesting day today, and I did some consultations at a wonderful place called Lucy's Frame Shop, of all places, and that's in Wickliffe, Ohio. And I had some absolutely stupendous clients. I mean, we really went deep, and wonderful experiences. And want to really send a big thank you to Lucy Hendershot for hosting me at her wonderful shop. And but what was so incredible is that there was a couple of different clients that really touched me. I mean, not that they all didn't, but that were memorable enough that I remember what the question was, if you will, or the circumstance once the records were closed. And the reason that's important or interesting is because typically when I do a consultation for someone, as soon as the consultation's done, I close the records and I really don't remember what I tell people because it's not my stuff. But I had a client today that was struggling with her understanding of God, and so her comment was, "I'm confused as to what I was taught about God and what I know in my heart about God." And she also asked the question, what does it mean to be saved? And so I'm going to ask the question again and again. I don't know if the information is going to come out the same way, but that was the question of the day. Was what does it mean to be saved? Now, I understand that this is a Jewish holiday, and I'm talking about Jesus on a Jewish holiday. Well, Jesus was Jewish, but here's the information is going to come forward again. And so we're asking the masters, teachers, and loved ones, what does it mean to be saved? And so what's important to remember or to be aware of is that the concept of being saved relates to a Christian belief that Jesus is God, that the man Jesus that walked the earth was an embodiment of God, and therefore humans must go through Jesus in order to be able to know God, to be saved from the aspects of hell and to have eternal life. Now, that is a concept that allows comfort for some Christians. And the masters, teachers, and loved ones would like to share with you is, if that concept brings you comfort, let it be. For those of you out there that want to understand a more universal definition of being saved, we would say to you that each human being, each living thing carries a spark of the divine. For humans who have a consciousness that can be expressed in words, and have a concern around, quote-unquote, being saved, we would say to you that it is about acknowledging the God within you and allowing that divinity to shine through as an example, as an inspiration, as a light bearer for those around you. Because you have the ability to walk in the footsteps of the divine, because you are divine. And therefore, save yourself in the fact that it's the honoring of the God within and the behavior of doing what you believe to be that of a behavior of love. When we look at God or the concept of God, in some religions, there is the thing known as sin. And if, in fact, a person doesn't go along with the quote-unquote rules of that religion or that group, then the belief is that that person would be regulated or would have to spend an eternity in hell and suffering. And so it's very important for you to take a look at the logic of who you are. And for those people who are parents or aunts or uncles, grandparents, or animal lovers, or even compassionate human beings that love children, or anybody who loves children, this is not a qualification, but it's a logic. It's a request for logic. And so what the master teachers and loved ones would like you to imagine, what could your child or your animal possibly do that would cause you to separate yourself from that being that you love and force them into an eternity of burning and torture? If you can't imagine doing that, and you are a human with the issues of judgment that you carry anyway, then how could a loving, supposedly non-judgmental God do that? So the definition of God and being saved is literally relative to your belief systems. And quite frankly, the only thing that matters is love. It's very important that you understand that if you ask the question, what would God do in certain situations, that you will come up with a loving reaction. And just because you walk in love And self-love, as well as love of others, love of animals, whatever, love of the planet, just because you walk in love and practice to the best of your ability non-judgmental, unconditional love, does not mean that you are walking without boundaries. Does not mean that you let people walk all over you and do whatever they like. What it does mean is that you love yourself enough not to allow yourself not to be loved. And for those people who have been listeners before, they understand that. We've talked about that statement. And it's a very important statement. It's an important statement because it's important for us to really consider and allow and know that we are one with the divine. And so this wonderful client who was confused about what to believe about God also said, I want so much to get closer to God and the divine, but I don't know how to meditate, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know. And the first thing that came up is that there was a self-esteem issue, that she wasn't good enough based on what she'd been taught by her religion, which is absolutely not true. You must know that the energy of the divine is always with you, always there for you to count on, always there for you to touch, always there for you to have a conversation with, to request things from, to be grateful to. And it's very important that you understand that because you are a part of God, that you experience the God within. And so this particular client loved to garden, and we were moved to share with her that her gardening is a form of meditation. And we would like to share with you, is anything that you deeply love is a form of meditation. And then I was at a service this evening about for Rosh Hashanah, and there was a piece in the prayer book on redemption, or on redeeming the sparks. It's a variation on the prayer for redemption, because the days of awe that are from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, supposedly everyone is looked at, and it is decided who will live and who will die for the coming year. And that sounds very ominous, but the reality is it's actually very freeing. And within the Jewish religion, if you are looking for forgiveness, before you can ask God for forgiveness, you have to ask the human for which you believe that you wronged for forgiveness, and the human must forgive you first before God will forgive you. Now, again, that's very judgmental, and that's a whole, possibly another program about forgiveness. But I want to read this prayer to you because I found it very, very inspirational and very comforting. And so it goes like this. The Kabbalist, which are the Kabbalists, is from the Kabbalah, which is the spiritual part of Judaism. The Kabbalists tell us that God, in creating the world, took some of its fresh new light and poured it into each of the vessels of the spheres of the universe. But such powerful light was stronger than the vessels, and so they weakened and cracked, while the precious light spilled out falling down and down through all the worlds until they reached into the lowest world here on earth, our own. As the sparks of life fell down, they took on forms and embedded themselves in physical things, wood and water, plants and paper and living creatures. Always, since that time, the sparks yearn to return to the source of all light, the single holy light from which they fell. And so when we do a good deed with food or plants or paper or another human being, when we thank the Creator for having formed this beautiful and strong and fragrant thing, we awaken the spark of light within. And suddenly, its fire starts to grow. And it rises, flaming higher and higher and higher, soon to be reunited with its source. As we have the power, through each good deed we do, to redeem the sparks of light from the tyranny of matter, in just such a way, God redeems us. We rise to our higher destiny of reunion with the divine. And as each generation is embedded in its own time, so do we look toward the redemption of the holy spark in each of us, ready, each of us, when our redemption time shall come, to soar further upward to the light from which we sprang and from which our beings draw their breath. As we sing the song of the redeemed, standing jubilant, we tune our mind, our body, our every sense to each song, each prayer, each gesture that we form, that we too may awaken every spark whose time it is to soar. And so, my dearest friends, it's about us redeeming ourselves, saving ourselves, for we are the saviors we've been waiting for. We are the savior we've been waiting for. And so I encourage you and truly entreat you to notice and be grateful for the light that is within you, and to move into that. And there is another prayer that I would like to read to you. Alone, I marvel at the evening sky. Gold caressing blue, blue caressing dark. Here in prayer, I need to see your hand behind the sky, your creative words once more forming light in darkness. I need to see the care with which you carved the moon and the stars, which make of fearful darkness nurturing night. The mixture that brings evening forth from day, morning from night, has been shaped like Adam from the earth by you. You who mixes in the evening, you are praised. And so it's this time of our life, it's from this point forward that we need to walk in gratitude. We need to walk in sacredness. We need to walk in oneness with ourselves. There is no outside God and us. There is only God within. We are the eternal spark. Our souls are all united. Our energy is all connected, and we truly are one. We are truly the beings we've been waiting for. And so it'd be great if you had some comments, questions. This is the time to ask. You can call in and talk to me personally. If you're having a hard time feeling closer to the divine, if you're having a hard time figuring out how to get there, then I really encourage you to give a call. You can call a toll-free number. It's 888-429-5471, or you can dial direct at 530-513-6472, or you can actually email. You can email me the question if you'd like at info, I-N-F as in Frank O, at akashicwisdom.com. So, there's another subject I want to go over, but I also want to throw out an invitation. I have been asked to submit a sample article that I would like it to be an advice column called Ask the Akasha, and I have been invited to create a sample article for a nationally known magazine, spiritual magazine. So what I would like is for you to email questions that you would like answered in this column. And if, in fact, I choose your question to answer in my sample article, I will send you a copy of that article because I need to have permission. I've got to find out how this magazine works, but if it's your question, I will let you know. I will send you back the answer that comes forward from the Akashic Records. So the email address you send it to is info, I-N-F as in Frank, O. You can put, it can be a global question. It can be a personal question. I would prefer that it's not about anybody else because we don't open the records of anyone else without their permission. So I need to have your permission to open your records and answer to this question. And it's important for you to go ahead and, again, send me an email with the questions you may have that you would like to see answered in this magazine article. I will not use your name, your real name. You will not be identified, so that your privacy is always maintained. But if you would like to participate and help me out with this, that would be great. Could I make up the questions? Sure, but they won't have the power that your true questions have. And so it would be great if, again, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And it is now 11:26 here in Akron, Ohio. I do have one more subject I do want to talk about. However, I would love to hear from somebody to talk about what or how they're feeling tonight. So again, you can dial in at toll-free at 888-429-5471. Or you can dial direct, and our country code is 011. And the area code is 530-513-6472. Okay. So we will, again, as my friend Deborah says, people probably don't call in because they like listening to me, but boy, I'll tell you, it's much richer when you do call in. So let me just go through the next subject here, and we'll talk about that, and maybe we will get some folks to participate. So the next comment is that I was made aware that there was a campus survey that was going around, and the survey was for the for the college students. So what was their greatest fear, and what would be their greatest fear, and what would be their greatest success? What would be their greatest dream? In other words, what would be their greatest fear, and what is their greatest dream? And when the information came back, I guess there were three different categories, but the person who was talking about this only mentioned this one. But I felt it was so important to talk about that I wanted to actually talk about it with the records open. And so the result of the survey, the one category that the greatest fear these college students had was failure. And their greatest dream was success. And what we need to look at is that within those two components is the middle ground that no one talks about. Now, we have all had failures, and we've all had successes. But there is an aspect to failing and being successful that nobody speaks about. And it's this aspect that blocks and in many cases prevents an individual from moving forward to greater success. And that aspect is shame. So when you fail at something, you feel embarrassed, you want to hide, and it's just about making a mistake. Mistakes aren't a bad thing. Mistakes are how you learn. But we put such a value on perfection that when there is a mistake that has happened, it creates a feeling, an emotion, a behavior. And the behavior is created from the emotion and also from the belief. And that the behavior is created from the belief and the emotion of shame. And so when we believe that we have failed and we move and take that to one step further, we realize that the shame we feel can be so painful that the aspect of even trying something else with a possible failure is too much for us to handle. So therefore, we allow ourselves to be thwarted, to be stopped by our own belief systems and by our own desire to hide. Shame causes us to want to hide, because if anybody were to find out what we did, they wouldn't love us or like us. This has, by the way, has nothing to do with truth. It has to do with the way we perceive it. And everyone has something that they don't want other people to know about themselves. Out of the fear that if people really know who I really was or really am, they wouldn't like me. If people really saw that I had a messy house, they would judge me. And there must be something wrong with me if I have a messy house. There must be something wrong with me if I'm obsessive with the neatness of my house. There must be something wrong with me if I judge other people, or I possibly didn't do the right thing by somebody. And all of these situations, or there must be something wrong with me because I failed at this project, at this goal that I wanted. I'm just not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not talented enough. And if people were to find out that I'm not talented enough, then they wouldn't like me. And therefore, I'd be alone. Shame puts the fear of being alone within us and feeds on it. The reality is the greatest fear is being alone for many people. But it's almost impossible for them to jump over that because they feel so inadequate to be able to take on the responsibility of a relationship. For fear, somebody will find out something that they don't care for and they won't like them and they'll reject them and they will be abandoned. I want you all to listen to what those words were and listen to the illogic in them all. The reality is that if you make a mistake, you made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. That's why we're here. We created and we wanted to come onto this planet to experience the imperfection of being. If we wanted to be perfect, we would have stayed in the light. We showed up because we wanted to experience imperfection and learn to love it, learn to accept it, learn to be joyful in spite of it, learn to connect to the divinity that we seem to have forgotten from the time we come onto the planet and take our first breath. Little kids don't forget their divinity, by the way. Little kids see things that nobody else sees. Little kids are joyful all the time. And usually I'm talking about the majority of children, not the ones that are abused, but even the ones that are abused find joy in life. And as we grow older, we learn not to create that joy because many times we don't believe we deserve it because of the internal shame we carry. And isn't it time to release that shame? Isn't it time to release anything that stops us from being joyful and all that we can be? And if you really want to understand how to release that joy, I want you to email me that question. You can give me a little background. And again, your name won't be used. I would like to have your current legal name for the question so I can answer it properly for you. But if it's a general question, that's fine. It's important for you to sort out, get clear, and isolate the areas of shame in your life that are blocking you from stepping forward. Think about that. And if you'd like to work through it right now, I'm offering you basically a free consultation to do that. You just need to do it on the air. You can call 888-429-5471, or you can dial direct at 530-513-6472. Because the consultations I do help people understand how to release this. The one-on-one consultations I do on the telephone with people help them understand, because the consultations are based 100% on your questions. So you've got the opportunity to talk to me on the air, and it's free. However, I will tell you this, I am going to be doing another Akashic Records Level 1 here in Akron at the end of the month, and that's going to be a three-day class this time. It's going to be September 28th, 29th, and 30th, and it is going to include 3 one-hour telephone conferences, teleconferences, like a week, and up to 3 weeks after the class, to help those in the class specifically to go deeper into their own Akashic Records and hone their skills. It's going to be here in Akron. There are hotels as well as within my building. There are what they call guest suites that are very reasonable if you want to travel. And if I'm available, I'll be happy to pick you up from the airport. If you're interested in anything about the classes or a consultation, again, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And again, info, I-N-F-O, Akashic Wisdom, just like the name of the show, akashicwisdom.com. Or you can call me on my private number, and that's 216-691-1233. Again, 216-691-1233. And that's available to you 24 hours a day. You're not going to wake me up if you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and want to ask me a question. But right here, right now, I'm here. And I'm curious as to how you felt about the information that came forward tonight. And if there's anything you want to work through, it's 11:39, and I will. And in a few more minutes, I will be closing the show, because I don't want to talk to myself. I want to talk to you. I do this show because I want to help people, and so I appreciate it if you would just go ahead and call in. And no one will know it's you. No one knows it's you. You can call in and ask whatever question you like. And we can talk about, you know, the other thing is that working with the Akashic Records, if you have a business, I open up the Akashic Records of the business as well as the individual who owns the business. And then what we do is we work from there to help you expand your business, either with marketing plans or help with your employees or things that you need to look at within yourself or the business, that when discovered or when acknowledged can be, and then cleared, can actually help your business create lots of prosperity for you. That's what it's all about. Okay, my friends, well, I'll tell you what, it's now 11:41, and I'm going to close the show, so if you're going to dial, dial now. 888-429-5471 or 530-513-6472. And for those folks who are Jewish out there, I wish you a very happy and healthy and prosperous New Year. For those folks who are Muslim, I know that Ramadan is your a very sacred time for you, and I wish you an easy fast. And And next week we will be talking here, same time, same station. And you can get your questions ready, or you can email your questions to info@akashicwisdom.com. It's INF as in Frank O at akashicwisdom.com. Well, I want to thank you all for listening. I hope this has been a helpful program, given you something to think about. I so deeply want to thank the wonderful clients that I had today at Lucy's Frame Shop. It was wonderful. I'm going to go back and do some more work with her, and it'll be great. So I do want to just, there's a question, an email question. There you go. Okay. Saved it. Okay. Oh, this is a very interesting question. So the question is, aren't fear, guilt, self-doubt, etc., past life karmic energies that have to be cleared? No. Actually, the karmic energies and the whole concept of karma has been misunderstood by Westerners, because the idea that we carry guilt, fear, self-doubt from past lives means that we must have done something wrong. And that concept of right and wrong is not what we're talking about here. Because we choose to come into physicality here on planet Earth, whether it was a past life or the current life, not so much for lessons as experiences. This is the time in history that we need to acknowledge that we do carry the wisdom, and anything about the past lives, if anything, we've brought that experience or that need to have the experience forward, because we want another chance at experiencing in a different way. We have to really know that we are truly perfect as we are. Truly perfect as we are. In fact, when I was creating the CD, Remembering Your Magnificence, it's all about remembering where we come from and our own perfection. There's a lot of explanation that happens on that CD. And so it's a great question, and it's something that we as humans need to get out of our systems. You know, fear, guilt, self-doubt is this lifetime. This lifetime has been ingrained in us. But we chose to have that experience based on the parents we chose, the birth date, our name vibration, etc., as a way of getting that experience out of the way. It's interesting because today there was a very good analogy that came forward. And what the analogy was from the Akashic Records around karma was that, well, this has been said before too, is there are no victims and there are no perpetrators. Everything is experience and observation. When we experience something, we internalize it and we make different choices to either not make that mistake again or allow it to stop us. Therefore, that's why if we look at it as an experience rather than as a wounding, we can be free of it. Also, the observation of what we would perceive to be a wounding, based on how that person reacts from that situation, from that experience, we then take away our own belief systems about how we're going to react to it. So the masters, teachers, and loved ones have expressed that, there are no victims and there are no perpetrators. There are only experiences and observations. And the analogy that came forward today was that we go to an amusement park, we see the roller coaster, we observe the people on the roller coaster, we observe them, some of them having fun and some of them not. So we decide to experience the roller coaster by getting on. So basically, based on the experience that we're having, it just depends on what ride in the park you're going to get on. And then other people observe you on the ride, and you experience the ride. If the experience is pleasant, you go and try and do it again. If the experience is unpleasant, the outcome you're looking for is to no longer do that. Yet, there are many of us that continue to get on that same ride expecting ourselves to feel differently. So if you get on a roller coaster, you're afraid of heights. If you continue to get on the roller coaster and you're terrified of heights, unless you're doing it to break that fear, you're going to have the same outcome. You're going to be terrified at the top of that roller coaster. And you're going to feel terrified when it's done and relieved. So again, there are no victims. There are no perpetrators. Their only experience is an observation. Therefore, if in fact that is true, and I take it as truth from the master teachers and loved ones, fear, guilt, and self-doubt have no place because they're only experiences or observations. They have nothing to do with truth. I hope that answered your question. And then a follow-up question here is, when you were talking about shame before, isn't that all just a part of the ego that we are supposed to release when we ascend? Well, you cannot release it until you neutralize it here first. Shame is a belief system that we hold. Until we neutralize that belief system and it has no power over us, that's the goal. And again, remember, ascension is not necessarily moving to a different consciousness as it is expanding your current consciousness. Now, again, there's some people that will move to a different consciousness, but the ascension is not the goal. The goal is learning to love yourself in the here and now and moving forward from there. If you only try to learn to love yourself in the here and now because you want to ascend, then it's an exercise in wanting perfection and judgment. The idea of moving into your own greatness and your own self-love has to do with you wanting that feeling of joy, of bliss and peace. Once that's achieved, you can make the choice to do anything you want. If you want to ascend, you ascend. You want to stay here, you stay here. You want to expand your consciousness. It'll all kind of just be like dominoes. Boom. It'll just be there. But having an outcome here's an example. I am really going to try to be non-judgmental toward my brother-in-law because I know if I'm non-judgmental, I'll get closer to my ascension. No, that's not the motivation that will get you to quote-unquote ascension. I want to be able to be non-judgmental towards my brother-in-law because being non-judgmental is a peaceful outcome that I require to be able to be joyful and blissful in this lifetime. and I will no longer allow my brother-in-law's behavior to control my feelings. Now you're in your own power. When you're in your own power, you can feel good about who you are and what you do. And you're not being directed by other people. I hope that's helpful, because it feels powerful to me. It feels powerful to really understand. What our intentions are for our life. So what is the intention of the life? Is the intention only to ascend? No, because you came here for a reason. Until you've experienced all that you need to experience, ascension is not an option. And the only way you're going to know about whether or not you're complete with all your experiences has everything to do with your level of peace. How peaceful do you feel? How complete do you feel? How much love can you give? How much love can you receive? Because it's not just about giving love and being non-judgmental. It's about receiving the love and the non-judgment of others as well, which equals acceptance. It's impossible to give love if you're not really ready or willing to receive love. Notice that. Notice that working with yourself is about being willing to receive, being grateful to receive. And when you're grateful to receive, you're willing to receive, you're able to give more freely without judgment and without strings. So I hope that helps. And I have a sense that it has cleared things up for you. And I hope it's cleared things up for the people. And you don't have to take my word for it, or the master's teachers and loved ones' words for it. All you want to do is see if you align with this information. Does this information feel like truth? And if, in fact, it feels like truth, then move toward it. If you're not comfortable with it, then move into your own being, your own center, and find out what you are comfortable with. And then notice if it's freeing or restrictive. What you're going for is being feeling free. Because anything that's restrictive is not going to help you. It's only going to create more barriers and more shame and more anger and more guilt. Well, it is now 11:55, and I want to thank you, Debbie, for your questions. And we are going to close the records now. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all these wonderful beings of light that are listening. We ask that their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen, amen. And I'll be here next week. Looking forward to more questions from my wonderful listeners. Have a great miracle-filled week, folks. Bye-bye.
Hello? Hello?